Hello, I'm Jennifer Neville with this week's Middle East Report. Coming up, Israel looks back over its relationship with Pope Francis. Israel continues to pay a high price for its war with Hamas. And Israel's final push against Hamas in Gaza. Israel is looking back over the relationship between Pope Francis and the Jewish people, and a rare shark attack has rattled the country. With more, here is news correspondent Kent Allen.
With the death of Pope Francis this week, Israel has been looking back over the relationship between Pope Francis and the Jewish people. On one hand, there is recognition of his long-standing warm relations between the Jewish people worldwide and also with Israel. Pope Francis visited Israel 1 year into his term as Pope. He was the fourth Pope ever to visit Israel. But on the other hand, the remarks by Pope Francis about the current war between Israel and Gaza had deeply upset Jews by his likening of the action of the Israeli army as being a form of terrorism and possibly even committing genocide against Gaza. The Vatican established formal diplomatic relations with Israel in 1994. Although the number of members of the Catholic Church among the Israeli Arab population is tiny, the Church has wide interest in Jerusalem. Approximately one-third of the land of central Jerusalem is actually owned by various Christian denominations. For example, though not Roman Catholic, the Greek Orthodox Church actually owns the land where the Parliament building of Israel sits, and Israel pays rent money to the church for its use of that land. In news from nature, this week, an Israeli swimmer was attacked and killed by a shark just a few meters offshore from the coast of Israel. It was the only fourth confirmed shark attack during the history of the modern state of Israel. This is Kent Allen reporting from Jerusalem.
In other news, in my regular news updates with David Silver, founder of Out of Zion Ministries, he begins by looking at the ongoing hostage situation, and we discuss the ongoing talks between the U.S. and Iran over the future of its nuclear enrichment program.
Well, the hostage situation is basically the same as it has been for, well, probably 6 to 8 weeks now, maybe even longer since the last hostages were released. There's been attempts, there's been negotiations, but nothing concrete. And Hamas has released a number of videos of young men who are obviously still alive, not doing too well, and they all implored the government to do something to get them out of captivity. Sadly, we've passed through, you know, the Passover period, and now we're heading towards the Holocaust Memorial Day and Soldiers Memorial Day and then Independence Day, which are coming up this week and next week. But still, our hostages are inside Gaza. 24 still alive, hopefully still alive, and another 35 or so who are deceased. But at this point of time, there's nothing on the table. In fact, the Prime Minister gave a speech on Saturday evening at the end of Passover, at the end of Shabbat, and he basically said that, you know, the war would continue and Israel's not going to surrender to terrorism, and we won't be pulling out of Gaza. So that really doesn't bode well for the hostages, because Hamas have said that until the war is finished and until Israel fully withdraws from the Gaza Strip, they won't release all of the hostages. But at this point of time, no sign of any hostages being released, Jennifer.
And what's the mood like in Israel with regard to what Mr. Netanyahu has said, particularly in continuing with the war?
Well, obviously, the families and friends of the hostages who are still there aren't very happy about that at all. I mean, that's an understatement, of course. And, you know, as time goes on, more and more of the country is in favor of stopping the war. But really, you know, my opinion is that we can't stop now. We've invested too many lives, too many soldiers have been killed, too many soldiers are seriously wounded. We've paid a high price to get this far. And in fact, people are sending letters, like Air Force pilots and other staff and other intelligence staff are writing letters to the Prime Minister saying to stop. But on the other hand, over 1,000 parents of soldiers who have perished or been seriously wounded have sent a letter to the Prime Minister saying we have to continue to the end. So he's kind of stuck in the middle of all that, Jennifer. But the country is still very, very divided.
And what has been the response to the new US ambassador, Mike Huckabee, to Israel, who is supposed to be a devout evangelical Christian?
Well, it is positive, of course, and he was photographed at the Western Wall, placing a prayer paper in one of the cracks in the wall on behalf of President Trump. So the mood is, I think, is quite positive, having a particularly amongst believers, especially, of course, having an evangelical representative here from America. So we're hoping that really will be a positive thing.
Can you give us an update on the ongoing talks between the US and Iran over the future of its nuclear enrichment program?
Yeah, well, of course, we don't know what they're really talking about, but they're saying that they're getting close to some kind of agreement. Well, Israel's not happy about that, particularly Prime Minister Netanyahu and many others. I think even some of the opposition parties aren't happy. The truth is you can't trust Iran. History tells us and shows us that even when Iran is saying they're not advancing their nuclear program, they were. So we're hoping that America is not going to be duped by words of peace and agreement. So basically, I think most of the country is not in favor of trusting Iran unless they agree to, if they agree to and can show that they are dismantling their nuclear centrifuges and other things, then that may be different. But Iran has already said they won't. They're not going to reduce their uranium stocks, and they're not going to reduce their number of centrifuges. So what America is accepting, we don't know, because of course it's not being the finer details aren't being broadcast or shared by the media. So but generally speaking, no, the government's not happy, and many people in the country aren't happy that's going on. And so the situation here is still very, very sensitive, ongoing, and nobody really knows what will happen.
As the war continues, I mean, what about Israel's economy? How are people managing financially, David?
Well, a lot of people, a lot of businesses still closed down, particularly up in the north, where not even, a lot of people haven't gone back to their homes. And also down south, still a lot of the kibbutzes have closed down. A lot of the farms aren't working properly. So that means our produce, our fruit and vegetables, is much more expensive. Dairy products that were coming from the kibbutzes or moshavs are also much more expensive. But I don't know, the economy seems to be hanging in there. I think the exchange rate's a little bit, the dollar's fallen a little bit. And of course, the stock markets here also tumbled when President Trump and China went into this tariff war with each other. So, but it's climbing back up slowly. And of course, the war itself has cost the country a lot of money. Just just keeping the army, keeping the army running, keeping the air force flying, the navy out there on the sea. It's an awfully expensive situation. Apart from the fact that a lot of industry is not running at full power, at full strength.
And so, David, in all that you've been sharing, how would you encourage our listeners to be praying at this time?
For the hostages to be somehow supernaturally brought out, because it doesn't look like it's going to happen diplomatically anytime soon. We need to pray that the army will be on top of what's going on down there in Gaza. In fact, I read a report that they've detected movement and sounds underneath the ground in the buffer zone that they've set up along the Gaza border. So that means there's probably tunnels still being dug towards the Israeli border. So Hamas hasn't given up. And another report said that they're in the process of replacing 30,000 of their soldiers with new people. So they obviously haven't given up. So we just need to pray that Israel stays on top of it militarily and diplomatically, of course, and that ultimately we have to pray that God's will be done.
That was David Silver. For more details, go to www.outofzion.org. Finally, according to news sources, three IDF brigadiers comprising of infantry, army and engineering units are advancing cautiously through Rafah's southern neighbourhoods, moving deliberately to minimise risks to troops. Most of the Hamas fighters from Rafah are believed to have fled north. Currently, only a dozen of the operatives remain in the city, as well as a small number of Palestinian families who have been evacuated in cooperation with Israeli forces. Please pray for the success of the IDF operations in Gaza and for the remaining hostages to be released. This ends this edition of the Middle East Report. Please join me again next time for the latest news from Israel and the Middle East. For more details, go to online middleeastreport.com.